Read some verses here in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And these verses are so familiar to us, but this is a reminder to us of the importance of praying, the kind of prayer that the church needs to be involved in. Amen. Calling upon the Lord. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer is the normal activity of someone who's a Christian. You pray, you can pray anywhere, at any time. You can pray laying flat on your back in the bed. You can pray in your car, driving down the road. It should be just as normal as physically, you know, taking a breath of fresh air. So should prayer be the normal activity for every Christian. James talks about this all through this book. He continually makes reference to prayer. The verse that Brother Greg mentioned is in chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. He will give liberally to those who ask the wisdom from heaven. And then other verses of Scripture in James chapter 4. He talks about there, you have not because you ask not. And then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, or you ask selfishly with wrong motives. So James deals with this subject of prayer. History says that James had a nickname. His name was Camel Knees, because he prayed so much that his knees were calloused from the long hours of prayer. And so James is the kind of person that we need to take advice from when it comes to the subject of prayer. Now, he's talking about, in this text here, he is talking about a prayer that is at a special time of need. There are times, of course, we normally would pray. Christians pray regularly, normally, a lot, all the time. But there are times when we pray when there are needs that are extraordinary. We pray when there's some exceptional type situation that has arisen. And so we then run to the Lord and we call upon the Lord. Now, we're in exceptional times. We're faced with extraordinary, challenging times today. And so we should see the importance and the value of prayer. Notice what it says in the text. Is any among you afflicted? Now, this word does not really mean just physically sick. It means trouble. Are you troubled? Do you have problems? Do you have burdens or needs. Really, the word means to be, it comes from a Greek word that means under hardship. You're just going through it. You've got trouble, worries. It could be any kind of a problem. It might be a physical need. It might be a family need. It might be a financial need. It might be an emotional need. It might be, it can be any kind of a need. This word here is saying, if you're in trouble, if you're afflicted, if you have any kind of a trouble, then you should pray yourself. Trouble should motivate you to run to God. Amen. What do we do when we get in trouble? Oh, we panic. When we get into trouble, oh, we worry. We get into trouble and, I don't know, we have all these different emotional reactions to being in trouble. But James says, this man who was known for his prayer life, he says, if you get in trouble, if you're afflicted, if you're going through any kind of a trouble, body, soul, or spirit, any kind of a situation, you should allow your trouble to motivate you to run to God. Amen? Let that be the motivation to run to the Lord. We look to a lot of different solutions and problems. And when we have problems, we look to answers. We look for some way to figure it out and come up with a solution. But if you're afflicted or you're under some hardship or some trouble or some concern in your life, then he says, let him pray. Let him pray. If you get in trouble, then you pray. You call upon the name of the Lord. It could be any kind of a problem, any kind of a need. And God is no respecter of persons or circumstances. You can bring it to the Lord and call upon the Lord. What's so wonderful about prayer is that you don't have to be, you don't have to have any special qualifications. You don't have to be any special person. You don't have to have any special titles. You just need to be a person that is willing to run to the Lord in prayer. Amen. You may not even be a Christian. You may not even be saved. But if you see yourself in trouble and you cry out to the Lord and run to the Lord in your need, I believe that the Lord will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer and your cry. So if you're afflicted, if you have any kind of trouble, any kind of hardship, and I don't think there's probably anyone in this building here tonight that you could say, well, I don't have any problems. I don't have any worries. I don't have anything that ever bothers me. Everything is just perfect in my life. Well, lucky you, because that's not reality, is it? I have troubles, I have problems, and so do you. And James says, this man of prayer says, when you get in trouble, whatever the trouble is, you're to let it motivate you to run to God. Amen? To call upon the Lord. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's kind of a curious thing to insert here into this text that has to do with prayer. Well, our response a lot of times is we're down in the mouth and we're sad and we're maybe whining and complaining, and sometimes we get in trouble and we let people know, I'm in trouble, I've got problems, and we let people know about that. He said, so you need to understand that just the opposite of that, if anyone is merry, let him sing psalms, or let that be. Let there be also a response to the when things are going good for you. Amen. We all have seasons where times may be rough, but then we also have those times and those seasons where we're just enjoying the blessing of the Lord, and we can be merry and happy and joyful. And all of that, and James is just saying, if you're going to let your troubles be known, let it be known when things are going well too. Amen. Let it be known make merry. Let that be your response to good times. Amen. If things are going well for you, notify your face. Smile and let people know that you're enjoying the blessing of the Lord and the help of the Lord in the midst of maybe their trouble. And what that will do then is it will encourage them, because there may be some that may be on the flip side of that, that they're not, they're in a struggling time and they're going through it, and they need to know, you know, there's a season of good and blessing and a time when I can make merry. And if I'll just hold on to the Lord, I'll get into that time as well. Good times will come back. Amen. Amen. One of the most difficult things about all that's been going on these last 3 or 4 months is everybody looks to the future and with like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next month? And I said to someone the other day, when July arrived, I thought, we're all kind of cringing like, okay, what's going to happen in July? Because it seems like that we've had 1 month after another of troubles and problems and things that are looking pretty dark and difficult in our world. But let me tell you, the Christian has a lot to be rejoicing about, a lot to be thankful for, and God's blessing and provision for you. If you could look through, instead of looking at all the things you've worried about over the last 3 or 4 months, instead, look at all the wonderful ways that God has moved for you and how he's taking care of you and provided for you and blessed you. Amen. And then notify everybody. Just, you know, he says, if you're married, sing psalms. Let there be an outward expression of your joy, the goodness of the Lord at work in your life. Praise God. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Amen. So that's a different kind of a problem there. When you're physically sick or physically weak and you are struggling, what does the Bible tell us to do? It says call for the elders. The word there is the word that we get our word presbyter, presbytery, and it just means the leaders in the church. It means the leaders in the church. It really, that word really is talking about the older. That word presbyter has to do with the older leaders of the church, and those that are in a place of leadership in the body of Christ. What should you do if you are sick? You should call for help. Call for the elders of the church. You know, we make the mistake of thinking that people are going to know about our needs. Somehow, we can practice transcendental meditation and we'll figure it out that you're sick after a few days. Or that, you know, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we are to call for them. You know, when you're physically sick, it's hard to pray effectively for yourself. That's why you call for the elders of the church. That's what he says to do. Let's just do it God's way. I can't tell you the number of times that people have said to me, after I find out later on that they're sick, they'll say this, well, I just didn't want to bother you. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, bother the preacher. It does. It says, bother the elders. It says, call them. Contact them. Let them know that you're sick. Amen. If we'll follow the biblical pattern and do it God's way, we might be really pleasantly surprised whenever we are touched and healed. Amen. Praise God. Hey, it's the Bible way. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, I mean, you can't get any more clear or emphatic than that. James, this great man of prayer, says this is what you do if you get sick. You can't pray. First of all, he says if you have some sort of a affliction, which means any kind of a problem, sure, it should motivate you to pray. But if you get physically sick and physically weak and physically in need, then you call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And he says that prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it the way that God's word tells us to do it. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. A lot of people, that verse of scripture, they get tripped up on that one. The fact of the matter is that not all sickness is because someone has sinned. We know that that's true. All sickness is not because of sin. There is a sickness that's unto death. There is a sickness that's for the glory of God. There is a sickness that is because someone has allowed sin to affect their life. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. Matthew 9:2. Son of man, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. This is when they brought the man who was paralyzed, brought him to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't say be healed. Although he was healed, he said, your sins be forgiven of you. So apparently there is a connection between the man's sinful life and his sick, physical sick condition. And the Lord went right to the root of the problem and dealt with the sin that was in his life, forgave him of his sins, and healed his body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:30, this has to do with taking communion. It says, this calls, many are weak among you. What's it talking about? It's talking about people who take the Lord's Supper, take communion, and they do it carelessly. And it says that we are to examine ourselves whenever we take communion. See if there are things in our life. Ask the Lord to reveal things that are in our life that's not pleasing to the Lord, so that when we receive communion, it's because we've done it on the basis of his blood and his forgiveness of our sins. This is for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep because of those who have been careless about taking communion with sin in their heart, sin in their life. So the scripture saying, well, does that mean you should never take communion? No, it means that you should come to the table of the Lord with a great deal of caution and respect, and understand that you can be forgiven of your sins. Examine yourself at the Lord's Supper. Amen. You know, if you'll be honest before the Lord and ask the Lord, would you reveal areas in my life that are not pleasing to you? The Lord will do that. If you'll be honest before the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And then he goes on and says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Do you understand that our relationships in the body of Christ have to do with whether or not we can get a prayer through? Confess your faults, commune with people, fellowship with people, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Amen. Let the Lord deal with those areas of your life. If you have aught against your brother, offense against your brother or sister in the body of Christ, you need to get that taken care of. You need to forgive them. You need to get that completely taken care of so that you can receive the fellowship and the healing that God has for you Amen. Then the part of the verse that's so well known to us all, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have quoted that verse so many times, but we don't really give as much emphasis to the word righteous as we should. We know that the effectual fervent prayer, it's talking about the effective prayer, the powerful prayer of a righteous man. Amen. Notice these verses that are dealing with our heart condition and how that is associated with our effective prayer. Amen. A righteous man. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It gets much accomplished. It gets much done. Make sure that you are in right relationship with God and with your fellow man. That will bring you to the place that you can pray powerful and effective prayers. Amen. Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to passion as we are. He was just like us. He was just like you and me. He was human. He was in the flesh. He had weaknesses. But the Bible says, even though he was just like us, he prayed. He had this big cause, and the cause, you know, what was going on in Judah and the circumstance of Judah and wicked, wicked leadership in Judah. And he prayed that the rain would stop. And all through the scripture, whenever rain was withheld, it was a sign of the judgment of God upon Israel. And when the rains came, it was the sign of God's blessing and favor upon them. And so he prayed, Lord, withhold the rain so that this wicked, evil people will recognize their sinful condition. Sad to say, it didn't work. They were so stubborn in their rebellion and their sin. And for 3.5 years it did not rain. And then he prayed again that it would rain. And it did rain. Was he someone special? No. It's very clear. James makes it clear. He was just like you and me. He was common. He was common. He was human. He was in the flesh. He wasn't somebody special. But he prayed and God used him in this wonderful ministry of prayer. He prayed again, verse 18. And the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Well, we've got special circumstances right now in our world, in our nation, we're facing in our life. Special circumstances that the church world is facing. And those should motivate us to turn to God, to cry out to God with a whole heart. And that's really the reason why we are giving our Sunday nights and our Mondays to special prayer and fasting during this month of July and asking the Lord to move, asking God to move. I know that there is power in prayer, and let's take heart and believe God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are mindful of us all. You know the needs, Lord, in our world, in our nation. You know the needs that we have in the church world. Oh, Lord, the need for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. A great need, Lord, for revival in our own individual lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir us and speak to us. And throughout this month of July, as we are praying and fasting and calling upon your name, that you would hear the prayers of your people and break through all of this darkness and all that is happening around us, Lord, and send a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you will hear the prayers of your people like Elias, just a commoner. Just like us, Lord, thank you that you have promised to answer the prayers of your people. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah.